So today we have an exciting and informative chapter from the Torah. I want to read the passage from, in the beginning, passage from Genesis 12 from another Torah portion. It is Genesis 12, verses 1 through verse 4. And then from today's Torah chapter, Genesis 28, verse 10 through verse 15. And look at the similarities between the two. So let us read Genesis 12, verse 1. Actually, 1, 2, and verse 3, three verses. So let us read together. Then Adonai said to Abram, "Get going out from your land, and from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great, so that you may be a blessing. My desire is to bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Genesis 12, verse 1, 2, and verse 3. And now let us read Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through verse 15. And let's look at the similarities between these two places. Genesis 28, 10. Then Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And if you read carefully, it's the same, very same place where Abraham was called to leave. So then Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He happened upon a certain place and spent the night there, for the sun had set. So he took one of the stones from the place and put it by his head and lay down in that place. He dreamed. All of a sudden, there was a stairway set up on the earth and its top reaching to the heavens. And behold, angels of God going up and down on it. Surprisingly, Adonai was standing on the top of it and he said, "I am Adonai, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your seed. Your seed will be as the dust of the land, and you will burst forth to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And in you seed. Behold, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not forsake you until I have done what I promised you." Genesis 28, verses 10 through verse 15. We see that these two passages from Scripture seem to say the same thing. The Lord calls Abraham and then his grandson Jacob to go out of the old and familiar in their lives to the future, to the promised land and new blessings. Do you think Jacob could become Israel and receive the Lord's promise if he stayed in his home with his family? I don't think so. Let's remember that all his life he was a homebody who lived in the tents of his parents, unlike his brother Esau, who was a hunter and traveler. We can find this information in Genesis chapter 25, verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau became a man knowledgeable in hunting, an outdoorsman, while Jacob was a mild man, remaining in tents. So he was a homebody. So only when Jacob left his ordinary life, the Lord himself appeared to him in a dream and gave him extraordinary and wondrous promises. Until then, the Lord gave these promises to Abraham, then to Isaac. And only now, God speaks with Jacob and gives him promises about his own future, his offspring and protection. A fundamental and exciting lesson for you and me is that the Lord will be with us and provide everything when He leads us. It is common for us to get used to comfort and hold on to our own in life. But change is not always a bad thing, and is often necessary in order for you and me to get something better, as in the lives of Abraham, as in the life of Jacob. The essence of faith in a few words. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. This is the heart of faith. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Our task is not to die, but to follow Yeshua, to obey his voice, obey his guidance. Abraham and Jacob needed to leave the old and familiar past to enter a new life filled with trust in the Lord. Although they were not far from being perfect, they were ready to follow God, even in their imperfect state. We have to see the Lord when we don't recognize him. It is important for us. And now I want to talk about a very relevant topic today. Trials and difficulties in our life do not mean that God is not with you and you are outside of his will. You must realize that when you pray to the Lord to lead and guide you, and when the answer comes, it is often not what you expect. One of my favorite places, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and verse 9. It is an incredible place of scriptures. Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." It is a declaration of Adonai. "For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When he lived with his family, Jacob loved the Lord and wished with all his heart to fulfill his will. Jacob prayed that the prophecy that was given to his mother would be fulfilled in his life. He wanted to fulfill his part of the spiritual legacy of his father and grandfather and prayed patiently for this. But I believe, truly believe, Jacob could not imagine what kind of answer would come to his prayer. That he would have to leave everything and go through so many trials in order to receive what God had promised to him. Most likely, if he knew the cost of his calling, Jacob would have been afraid to ask the Lord for an answer and would have remained loving the Lord but playing video games in his parents' tent until his last days. But because the Lord brought Jacob out of his comfort zone, answered Jacob's prayer as he wanted and not as Jacob imagined for himself, Jacob became strong, wise, the patriarch of his people, Israel. Let's read Genesis verse 32, chapter 32, verse 29. It is a great place. "Then he said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but rather Israel, for you have struggled with God and with man, and you have overcome.'" There are various interpretations of the name Israel. Commentators do not agree on the literal interpretation, but one of the most common is name Israel means to rule, to have power, prevail over. So now let us read about what happened in Jacob's life. It is a great place. It's an answer for us. Genesis 28, verse 10. "Then Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran." There are several origins of the name Beersheba, or in Hebrew, Beersheva. In Hebrew, it's Beersheva. Ber is the Hebrew word for well, and the Hebrew word shuvah, oath. because of the oath of Abraham and Abimelech, it can be called well of the oath. But some Bible commentators believed that the name derives from the Hebrew word sheva, which means seven in Hebrew, and also could mean seven wells dug by Isaac. From the Hebrew words ber, means well, and sheva, means seven wells. I think this is a fascinating and prophetic interpretation of the name of this place. Literally, the place of the seven wells. And now let's think about it. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. The biblical place name Haran, from Hebrew harar, can mean parched or a dry place, a place burned by the sun. This is the city that lay on the northeast of Mesopotamia, between the rivers Euphrates and Hawor. And you know the story, Terah, Abraham's father, died and was buried in that place. And Laban, Rebekah's brother, lived in it. When we understand the meaning of these set names, an interesting prophetic picture opens up before us. So Beersheba, or Beersheba, the place of seven wells. And you know, in the scriptures, the number seven is the number of spiritual perfection. This number indicates completeness and perfection in the Bible. Seven spirits of the Lord, seven candles of menorah. And Yeshua compared the well of living water to the Holy Spirit. So this was a place that symbolized the presence of the Holy Spirit. Seven wells, an abundance of water, life and rest, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, Beersheba. Jacob leaves Beersheba, and goes to Haran, to a dry place, a place burned by the sun in order to be prepared to serve the Lord and become the patriarch of the Jewish people, to become Israel. Jacob leaves the place of rest and abundance of his childhood, the place of his preparation, and goes, led by God, to a challenging area where trials and struggle awaited him. But it is at this time that the Lord blesses him most of all. The most difficult years of Jacob's life were not fruitless. He entered his calling, got married, had children, and became a patriarch. And think about it. All this happened in the most challenging times for him, when he was exiled in Haran, a dry and parched land. When I pondered why Jacob's children were born in a foreign land, I concluded that this challenging time was the most productive in his life. Jacob sought God more than anything in his life and needed his protection because he had no protector but the Lord alone. Even his father-in-law did not love and appreciate Jacob, wanted to cash in on him. Laban saw that the Lord was blessing Jacob in everything and decided to use Jacob and his relationship with God, his gifts, to get rich himself. Do you remember that Jacob worked for his beloved wife Rachel for 14 years? He worked for Laban. But despite all the trials, this was the most fruitful time for Jacob, when he entered his calling. Indeed, Jacob was a prophetic example of the coming Messiah, Yeshua. Let's remember the example that our Lord and teacher Yeshua left us. Let us open Brit Hadashah, New Testament, book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. It's an amazing place. Luke 3, 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were immersed, Yeshua also was immersed. And while he was praying, heaven opened, and the Ruach HaKodesh came down upon him in bodily form like dove. And from out of heaven came a voice, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What an interesting passage from the Bible. Lord Yeshua is immersed in Jordan, and the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. It was the day that Yeshua entered his calling, his ministry, the ministry of the Redeemer of humankind. In verse 22, our Heavenly Father revealed his Son to humanity, to us. It is fascinating that Yeshua was by the river, the water, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, filled with the glory of God. And let us open next chapter, chapter 4. And right after this event, the Holy Spirit leads him to the desert. Luke 4, verse 1, 2, and verse 13 and 14. Yeshua, now filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Ruach in the wilderness. For 40 days being tested by Satan, now he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he was hungry. And let us read verses 13 and 14. And then when Satan had completed every test, he departed from him until another occasion. Yeshua returned in the power of the Ruach to the Galilee, and news about him went out through all the surrounding region. So let's pay attention to two verses. Verse 1, Yeshua, now filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, went into wilderness. And verse 14, after his test, Yeshua returned in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. What an interesting story. Yeshua was filled with the Holy Spirit when he entered the wilderness. But he was in the power of the Holy Spirit when he left the wilderness. It is very important to know that the wilderness of trials was the first place where the Holy Spirit led him in order for him to acquire the power of the Spirit. If this happened in the life of our Lord, then why should we be surprised and afraid when we go through the wilderness of trials in our lives? We can learn an important lesson from this story. Each period in our lives bears fruit, and the time of the wilderness is a necessary time for each of us. Therefore, when we pray and ask the Lord to lead us, direct our lives, move through us, we should not be surprised or indignant when His answer is not what we expected. Therefore, if you go through trials and battles in your life, this does not mean that the Lord is not with you. It can mean that you are in His perfect will and that He makes you into Israel. If you wait for better times to live and rejoice in God, you can wait for a very long time. You need to rejoice, to serve and follow the Lord now, today. It is your time, even if you are in the wilderness. In conclusion, I want to read one essential passage from the New Testament. This is an instruction and warning for us about behaving in times of difficult trials. We need to remember this. Let us open John chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he trims, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides on the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and is dried up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. What a place of scriptures. The truth is that all will pass the time of purification when the Lord trims his vineyard. His vineyard is you and me, his community. And in order for the vineyard to bear fruit, it must be cleansed once a year, trimmed of unhealthy branches that do not bear fruit. A not pruned vineyard becomes wild and no longer bears fruit, leaving only leaves without grapes. So all believers will go through times when the Lord is working on us, leading us through the desert in our lives. Everyone will be circumcised and cleansed, but the problem is that some will pass the test and remain on the vine. The vine is Yeshua and his will, and will bear even more fruit. And other people will not pass the test and will be cut off from the vine and thrown out. You know that when a branch is cut off from the vineyard, it does not immediately dry out. For sometimes it may seem that everything is fine, nothing happens. But the only condition in order not to perish is to cleave to the vine, Yeshua, and his juice, the Holy Spirit. Do not grumble. Do not get caught. Do not run away from the call of God. Do not leave the community of the Lord. My opinion is that we'll all live at the time when the Lord prunes his vineyard right now, today, removes barren and dry branches, cleans up the excess that takes away the juice and does not bear fruit. Each of us needed to stay on the vine, needs to stay on the vine, remain in faith, and not exchange eternal life for an easy path. Therefore, do not give up and remember that if there are trials and difficulties in your life, this does not mean that God is not with you and you are outside of his will. This means that God is near and will not leave you. He makes you a person who will bear much fruit in his kingdom. Thank you so much. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric's home for a final song. So let us pray together. Yivarech Adonai veishmarecha, Yer Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Issa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.